The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned round and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, the theme of the cross is very much emphasized in today's readings. First of all, the cross of our Lord and Savior. This was the occasion of the very sharpest and sternest words that Jesus ever spoke to his own disciples. Peter, with good intentions, is trying to shield Jesus from the way of the cross. He hears the Lord predicting his suffering and death and rejection, and his good-hearted reaction is, "Oh no, this can never happen, Lord, we'll protect you." And instead of thanking him, Jesus rebukes him sternly. He's acting like Satan in that moment, in the sense of offering a temptation to evade God's will for his life. Our Lord has to take up that cross. In the first reading, we found a beautiful prophecy from the prophet Isaiah of that. And the prophet sees in that vision one who's the Savior, but he's giving his back to the smiters and letting them spit on him, rejecting him, pull out the hair of his beard. And he says, "I will set my face like flint against them because God is with me." We saw that fulfilled in the gospel today when our Lord, even before his passion, strongly rebukes Peter. And that rebuke, I think, dear friends, can apply to us too, because we too have the temptation quite often of seeking to avoid a cross that the Lord maybe wants us to take up and shoulder. We can think of those who are suffering much worse crosses than us at this time. We keep hearing in the news of terrible persecution of Christians in the Middle East and parts of Africa by fanatical jihadist Muslims who, with their shockingly distorted notion of God himself, are killing and beheading and torturing Christians and many of their own fellow Muslims. We think of those thousands and thousands of refugees from that trouble who are coming into Europe at present, and all the great turmoil there, are somehow trying to shelter these homeless families escaping persecution and death and war. The little crosses that we have to carry are really much lighter than those poor people for whom we must pray every day. But again, sometimes carrying the cross means recognizing something that God wants me to do, and then having the courage to take it up. Because crosses sometimes are not things that just happen to us. Often they are, of course. Death, unemployment, maybe the breakdown in some family relationship causing a lot of terrible distress, or maybe bereavement, and so many kinds of disappointment that happen to us. But there are other kinds of crosses where it's up to us to decide to carry that cross. And that may sometimes require doing something which we really know God wants us to do, but we don't want to do it. Sometimes we need courage to help us do that, just like the Lord needed courage to say no to St. Peter himself then, at that moment when Peter was trying to ease him away from taking up that cross. One kind of cross that fits in with the second reading today is that of, again, doing good works or things that really we know God wants us to do, but for some reason or other it's going to be difficult, we don't want to, so we look for excuses. Like St. Peter, a way to avoid the cross or rationalize our way out of it and find some pretext for not accepting it. St. James speaks about the importance of good works for salvation as well as faith. As most of us know, this issue about faith and good works was the central issue of that terrible split in Christendom that took place in the 16th century when Luther and Calvin and the other reformers said that faith is the only thing necessary to get to heaven. They misunderstood St. Paul's teaching about justification by faith. When we look at both sides, what St. Paul says and what St. James says in today's second reading, then we get the complete picture. Just very briefly, what it is this. When St. Paul says we are justified by faith and not by good works, what he means is that if we're in mortal sin, absolutely nothing we can do by the way of good deeds can get us out of that, can reconcile us with God or justify us before God. I'm living in an adulterous relationship, or I've got a habit of alcoholism or drugs, or I have hatred for somebody that I don't want to forgive, and I'm clinging to that sin, but I say, well, look at Lord, look at all the other good things I do. I'm generous to the church, and I really love my children, look after my old mother. Look at all the good things that I do. Can't negotiate our way out of mortal sin. If we're in mortal sin, only faith in the sense of trusting, humble, coming to God, asking for his free and unconditional forgiveness, provided like that we're truly repentant. That's all we can do. That's right, but after we have been reconciled with God, do we need to continue in doing good works? Yes, we do. And that was where Luther and Calvin went wrong. They said, no, faith is the only thing you ever need. No, St. James says, faith without works is dead. And sometimes those good works can be something we don't want to do. It's going to cost us a lot. Might be taking up a real cross to do those things. Sins of omission can be mortal sins as well as bad things that we do. Just remember Jesus' teaching in that great parable of the Last Judgment, when some people are told to depart from God forever, not because they did anything specially bad, but because they failed to help their brother and sister in need. They sinned by omission. Good deeds, good works are necessary. Otherwise, what's going to happen? We're going to fall back into mortal sin. That's the balanced picture of what the Gospels and the Scriptures teach us about faith and works. So let's pray for the discernment to recognize what the crosses are that God wants me to carry, and the courage to carry those and persevere in carrying that cross, knowing that Jesus himself is with us every step of the way in carrying that cross, because he carried his all the way to Calvary to forgive us our sins and bring us everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.